States of America. We pray, Lord God, that we live up to that those ideals that this country was first founded on. We pray, Lord God, that you remind us of them and let us continue to live and strive to be better than we were yesterday and even better than we can be today. Lord, have mercy upon us. Speak to us now. Speak a word of love and a word of hope and a word of peace. Come in our midst, Lord God, and take hold of me, the preacher, and let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our refuge and our strength, you are our Savior and our Lord. Amen. So I keep fixing my glasses because it keeps moving around. And so my sermon title today is The Story of Two Touches. And very interesting pericope, very interesting narrative, a large narrative about Jesus encountering two women, one little girl and a grown woman. And it's interesting to note that at the onset that the little girl was 12 years old and the woman had been suffering for 12 years. It is interesting to note when they use numbers in the Bible. And some writers will interject that also it was to represent the new coming, and there were 12 tribes of Israel. But with all of that, today we're really looking at the touch from the Lord. And before I get to that piece of it, I want to really look at, to begin from a human standpoint, from our standpoint. And this song that was just, this hymn that we just sang, Be Still My Soul, what an amazing hymn it is. It always almost brings tears to my eyes, the words. And I heard that hymn sang once a few years back. I was in Connecticut, and it was after the earthquake. I really never sang that song often, every rare moment in church. But it was after the earthquake in Haiti. You know, that very bad earthquake in Haiti that they had in 2010. And I believe from 46,000 to almost 300,000 people, they believe, were killed in that terrible earthquake. But I say this, all of that to say this, there was a Haitian church, and still is, worshiping in our church. An indigenous Haitian church, hard working people. And maybe about 30 of them worshiping under Pastor Joseph Lalanne. And we used to have a prayer service on Tuesday together. We would meet together, those from my church who would come, and the Haitian congregation, they all came. And we would meet, and then we would sing songs that we know, both in Creole and English. They'd be singing in Creole, we would sing in English, and then we would go to prayer. But that day, that week of the earthquake, the day we heard, everybody in the churches were coming together in Connecticut, I'm sure out here also, praying for Haiti and all of that, and people were weeping at the destruction. Because of where Haiti is located, Haiti has seen a lot of earthquakes and hurricanes and cyclone because of where it is, where it's located. And so that night we were in prayer, and there's a woman called, I used to call her Sister Ninny, and an older lady called Mama. And they came in, you know, they were waiting to hear about their families, what had happened. They couldn't get through, no one could get through anywhere. But during that little prayer service we had, that woman, those two women were on their knees, and they were singing this song. Now they were singing it in Creole, but I knew the tune. And when she began to sing, and she sang it over and she wailed, the words began to mean something different to me. Here there were thousands of Asian dead. They didn't know if it was their family. But as she prayed and she sang, Be still my soul, the Lord is on thy side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Leave to thy God to order and to provide. In every change, he faithful will remain. Can you imagine all those words must have meant to those, what they meant to those people? Be still, my soul, thy best, thy heavenly friend, through thorny ways leads to a joyful end. Can you, it just didn't mean words. They were holding on to this hope that even though thousands of their brothers and sisters had died, there was a God, and they were literally speaking to their soul to be still and to trust God, that God would take care of. And I never forgot that song. They sang it over and over and over because they needed the strength to get up. They needed a touch from God. And every time I hear that song, I think of them. Be still, my soul, the waves and winds still know his voice who ruled them while he dwelt below. Be still, my soul. There are times we have to tell our soul to be still because we really don't have the strength to believe anymore when bad things happen. And so the psalmist begins in Psalm 130 that was read in your hearing. Out of the depths I cry to you, Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness so that we can with reverence serve you. Out of the depths I cry, O Lord. This is a psalm for mercy and for assurance. Out of the depths I cry. How many of us have cried out of the depths as we cry unto the Lord? And so here we have in this story, in this narrative, two stories. Let's look for a moment at Jairus first. Mark makes it clear that Jairus was no ordinary individual. Indeed, he was a very important person. He was one of the rulers of a local synagogue, probably Capernaum. He was charged with correct administration and due conduct of worship. Jairus represented the upper crust of society. Jairus was the ruler of the synagogue. He was a man of substance, rich and powerful and religiously prominent. In the synagogue, he called the shots. His decision to go to Jesus could not have been an easy one for him. This scene was early in Jesus' ministry, but already the opposition is beginning to crystallize against Jesus the Nazarene. Jairus thus had many reasons not to go to Jesus, but he had one overriding reason to go to him, his daughter. We don't know what was wrong with her. They did not know what was wrong with her at all. But it was obvious that her condition was deteriorating rapidly. We are told that the girl was 12 years old. There is perhaps a specific reason for mentioning that. You see, it was the age that she would be coming into her own. Because in that community, at 12, young girls would be getting ready to be married. So Jairus seeks out this itinerant miracle worker whom everyone had been talking about. He would be seeking out Jesus. He goes in desperation and he goes in faith. Now look what happens. He implores Jesus to come to his house and heal his daughter. So moved is Jesus that he changes his direction and goes with Jairus to his house. Remember, Jesus was not initially heading to Jairus' house, but he was so moved that this man of high status would come to him to seek healing for his daughter that he changes direction. Now, friends, do you believe that prayer can change the direction of God? Do you believe that your prayer can stop God in its tracks? Or do you believe that the stars have fated all the events of your life? Jesus is on a move, but somebody requests for healing is going to touch him. Now, about the woman hemorrhaging for 12 years, the Bible says she had an issue of blood for 12 years. Here she was, on the other hand, this woman was a social outcast. Do you see the contrast? She was considered unclean as one who was under the judgment of God and therefore not allowed to set foot in the synagogue. She had spent everything she had to get well, every penny for 12 years. In this magnificent message, these two vastly different people, the down and out hemorrhaging woman and the upper crust daughter of Jairus, they are all loved by Jesus. And so, friends, the scripture tells us today, the scripture tells us that Jesus was going to touch both of them. If you take a moment and you look at the front of your bulletins, you'll see I put a picture, since we don't have an overhead for me to do some clip art one day. But if you look at the front of the bulletin, you'll see Jesus in the middle, and you'll see the woman reaching out to touch the hem of his garment, and you'll see Jesus reaching out to touch the girl. It doesn't happen both at the same time, but that's exactly what's going to happen. Jesus is spreading the word, spreading the gospel, he's moving. Jairus encounters him, asks him, request of him. Jesus is moved by it, that his daughter is sick unto death. And then here comes a woman. And the picture of this woman in all the paintings you see, she's on her knees. She's on the ground. She's bent over on the ground because she just wants to what? She said in the scriptures, if I can just but touch the hem of his garment. Now, I just realized that I'm wearing something like this today. Jewish rabbis would wear, you know, they had the strings. It's not called strings. I'm saying tassels. No, it's not tassels. It's talents, right? We call them tassels or tab, right? And they normally have them on their clothes. And their things are flowing, right, down to the feet. And she did not thought about, can I touch his hand? Could I touch, you know, his face? Can he hold me? She says, if I but touch the hem of his garment, if I just can just reach out and touch it, then I will be healed. Something is going to happen. What faith? This woman, you know, when you get desperate, 12 years, think of that. She's been suffering for 12 long years. Spend every money she has at the doctors. And if you know about Jewish history, and in those times in the Mediterranean, that area of the world, she's an outcast, right? Because when a woman is hemorrhaging, she's unclean. She cannot go to the synagogue. She can't pray to Yahweh in the temple. She's not allowed. Because you have to have a period of cleansing after that part, that cycle in your life, a woman. And her period of cleansing never comes because it's 12 years. She's desperate to see Jesus. Can't you feel the desperation in her? She is so desperate, she's going to do anything. Sometimes we have to be that desperate to touch Jesus, you know. And the point is how wonderful he is. Because if you think about it, if you look at some of the pictures, the crowd are swelling around him. People are everywhere because he is the itinerant Messiah. He's going from town to town. And people are being healed. And people are following him, right? Right? He's itinerant. That's where we get itinerancy from. Do you know that? That we're supposed to travel, but we're not as powerful as Jesus. But here we are. But at least we're moving. Jesus is moving every day. And she had to what? Crawl through the crowd. She had to be persistent because she must have made up in her mind that day that he's passing me through town, and this may be my only time to reach him, to touch him. And the Bible says she touched him. And when she touched him, Jesus felt it. Do you know, each time we touch Jesus, he feels it. Amen. When we really touch him, no matter how it is, in what language, how short, how long, he knows it. And he said, Jesus says, who touched me? The disciples looked at him and says, what are you talking about who touched you? In this crowd? And he says, in essence, somebody touched me differently. Because power have left me. That means she touched him with such a faith that it was different from all the other touches that he would receive. She touched him with genuine faith, genuine need. She touched him. It wasn't some, I'm just going to do it because it's part of life. I'm just going to try this thing. No, I need Jesus to change my life. I need something happen. And Jesus said to her, your faith has made you well. Your faith, our faith, when we touch him in need. You see, many people, here we are in the church, and many folks have come to church. We come to church, and your people sitting right in church, your people living with other people, husbands and wives and spouses or friends, but still they need a touch. Do you know that? The fact that you're with someone doesn't mean you've gotten a touch, a real touch, right? From somebody else. Touch is important, isn't it? It makes you know that somebody cares or somebody's thinking about you. The good touch, right? The people who live with other people and are needing touch. And certainly when people come to church, they want to get a touch. And sometimes they want to get a touch from you and me. Because we know Jesus. And a touch can be just a look. A touch can come through a look of care. Right? A look at it, I know you're here. Because we represent Jesus in the world. If we really are being the kind of Christians we are to be, we represent Jesus in the world, right? Right now. Needing a touch. Needing to be reminded that Jesus loves them. That Jesus is here. That he's listening, that he knows our every weakness and our everything that we may need, he knows. Reach out and touch him, but was he finished? No. He remembered. Jesus doesn't have amnesia, He continued on his way, and he went to Jairus' house. And the people were weeping because they believed the girl had died. So Jesus just finished. The woman touched him. The power left his body. But I want to tell you today that there is enough power in Jesus for all of us. Amen. Because I'm holding on to his garment for dear life all the time. But trust me, as much as I'm holding on, there's enough in him for all of us. Right? All of us. Because he went into Jairus' house. And the little girl was there. And Jesus is so wise. Sometimes when you're going and doing a healing, you don't want so many people in the house. You know what Jesus did? He put everybody out. Some of these healers nowadays, what they do? They want a big crowd to show that they could pray and heal. But not Jesus. He took the mother and the father, and I think maybe somebody else. Can't remember now. And he goes into the room, and he's gone to speak with authority. Those of us who are in the Bible study, we'll look a little bit at that text today, that moment. He's going to speak to her with authority. Jesus, there are times when Jesus is healing, he speaks with authority. He said, stretch out his hand, the text says, and he says, get up, little girl, get up. Immediately she was healed. Get up. The power had not left him. The power to heal. Jesus is the same Jesus, and he has the power to heal. If he's not healing, if people are not getting healed to the extent that they should, it's because we are not walking in belief. We are not walking in faith. We are not really and truly reaching out and touching Jesus. He's the same Jesus. Same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And we can touch him. The songwriter says, he touched me. He touched me, and oh, the joy that fills my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me, and he made me whole. Amen. Huh? Since I've met that precious Savior, I believe, since he has something and made me whole. I'm going to trust him forever because he has touched me and he made me whole. He will touch you and make you whole, or you can reach out and touch him and he will make you whole. Whichever way you choose, he will. If you choose to touch him, he will. You can touch him, and the same thing applies. He will touch you back. He's that kind of Savior. So I'm going to read this brief reflection, and it will bring it in, because I truly believe the church should be the place where people feel that they're touched. And I just don't mean physical touch with the hand. A touch can be, how you doing? It's a conversation, but it's a making touch broader than physical. Look of care. And so this writer writes in this thing, this is called Touching the Church. And it says here, one of my cyber friends came across this in a church newsletter called Touch in the Church. Now listen to this, friends. What is all this touching in the church? It used to be a person could come to church and sit in the pew and do not be bothered by all this friendliness, and certainly not by touching. I used to come to church and leave untouched. Now I have to be nervous about what's expected of me. I have to worry about responding to the person sitting next to me. Well written. Oh, I wish it could be the way it used to be. I could just ask the person next to me, how are you? And the person could answer, oh, just fine. And we'd go home, strangers who have known each other for 20 years. But now the minister asks us to look at each other. I'm worried about that hurt look I saw in the woman's eyes. Now I'm concerned because when the minister asked us to greet one another, the man next to me held my hand so tightly, I wondered if he had been touched in years. Now I am upset because the lady next to me cried and then apologized and said it was because I was so kind and that she needed a friend right now. Now I have to get involved. Now I have to suffer when this community suffers. Now I have to be more than a person coming to observe a service. The man last week told me, I've never known how much I touched his life. All I did was smile and tell him I understood what it was to be lonely. All I did was smile and tell him I understood what it was to be lonely. Lord, I'm not big enough to touch and be touched. The stretching scares me. What if I disappoint someone? What if I'm too pushy? What if I cling too much? What if someone ignores me? Pass the peace. The peace of Christ be with you and also with you. And really mean it? Lord, I can't resist meaning it. I am touched by it. I'm enveloped by it. I find I do care about that person next to me. I find I am involved and I'm scared. Oh Lord, be here beside me. You touch me, Lord, so that I can touch and be touched. So that I can care and be cared for. So that I can share my life with all those others that belong to you. All this touching in the church, Lord, it's changing me. What was it our audacious friend said to the many, many centuries ago? If I but touch, I will be healed. Friends, we're here as Christians today. You see, religion can get in the way of relationship with God. Right? Religion and tradition. And so we sing a song, we get up, we stand. But most people come to church, want to know that there's a personal God through Jesus Christ. Someone who really cares. That's the Jesus I know. I don't know how to preach on a God who's distant. Faith is not about rules, regulations, and religion. It is about we human beings reaching out to God, who reaches out to us through Jesus Christ, who reaches into the pain and the anguish of our living. The good news for people in our scripture lesson is that the barriers all went down. The barriers for a rich man. You see, people, rich people with a lot of money needs a touch. You know, I used to love Anthony Bourdain. I used to love to watch his CNN thing. And every time I think about it, the other day I was on CNN, they were playing a repeat, and I thought, how could this man who was traveling the world, eating roaches and rats and snakes, you know, he did everything wonderful, you know, and he eats salmon and things, and he looked like he had a great life. He traveled, he jumped on a boat, he was here in Italy, places I've never seen, little towns, and you know, wherever he was, you know what I'm talking about. He seemed to be just having it going so well, tall and good looking, and he was. I mean, I was checking him out. He was attractive man. I used to say, that's a fine looking white man. Just to be clear, that'd be a fine looking black man, but he was a fine looking white man. And I would say, that's a good looking man, you know. And he'd pop off a boat, and he'd pop in a boat, and he'd be in the south of France, and he'd be... It was all good, wasn't it? I didn't know much about his personal life. I just saw his persona. Who would have thought that he needed a touch from the Lord? That day in France, he was in a room shooting the thing, going to his room and hang himself. And all I could say you thought I knew him. I said, if only I'd met him to tell him about Jesus. That no matter what he's going through, no matter what. Now he had all the money to get all the clinical help in the world. All the money in the world. But needed a personal touch from the divine. Needed a personal touch from the divine that money could not buy. Ah, that woman with the pocketbook who makes the beautiful pocketbook. I call her the wrong name. Candace Page, whatever her name is. I never bought one of her bags, but fancy. My daughter knows it. She probably couldn't afford it, but probably has one. But you know, she makes these things. She knows all the designers. Not because she can't afford it, but she knows. You know what I'm saying, Zamdam. She has all those fancy bags. So anyhow, look at her with a wonderful life. Beautiful daughter. Everything. And yet, throw that all away because what? Needing someone to say, it's going to be all right. Got all the medical care she could, they said. A touch. The church is a place that we come to get that touch from Jesus. We get a touch to a song. Be still, my soul, the Lord, your God is on your side. Huh? That's a touch, isn't it? You sing that song often enough, you start to weep and all your burdens start falling off. Do you know you could just sing a song sometimes? Have you ever done it? That night when they were singing, Be Still, My Soul, those Haitian people, I sang it with them and we were all weeping. After half an hour, we were all weeping and every burden we had was lifted. My burdens were small because I was there with them. When I got up, I felt well, not because life had been better, but because somehow I felt that there's somebody greater than me who is over the universe. The wind and waves are in his control. Huh? All of creation. And I'm trusting in him to bring me through. See, that's a touch. He touched me. And he could always touch. When we come to church, every week, you see, I choose those songs. I choose them for a purpose. As long as I could find a song that speaks to the text, I choose it. So that you could hear the words of the songwriter. Because some people are touched by the song. Some are touched by the scriptures. Some are touched by what? By the preached word. Some are touched by being together. But something must happen when we come into the presence of the Lord. Friends, that's why we're here. That's why we want to keep our church open. That's why I'm looking forward for what God is yet going to do. I am not going to be caught up with mortar and stone and waste my energy in mortar and stone. Because people's life are more important than mortar and stone. Jesus Christ died for human beings. Don't die for a pew, he died for human beings. And so today, friends, be reminded for the woman, for Jairus, and for the little girl. The greatness of God and the good news of Jesus Christ will eliminate all obstacles to health and life.
We still have to bear our burdens, don't we? But Jesus will bear it with us. Amen. Praise God.